Iran and Syria launch a proxy war. Next on The Line. Israel's assault on the radical Islamic Hezbollah has been viewed by many as a legitimate act of self-defense. Based in southern Lebanon, Hezbollah has the declared goal of destroying Israel. The terrorist group has launched missile attacks on Israeli towns and cities. Hezbollah created the latest crisis when it sent fighters across the border to attack and kidnap Israeli soldiers. Officials of Lebanon's democratically elected government have blamed Syria for orchestrating Hezbollah's attacks. Lebanese Communications Minister Marwan Hamada said Syrian Vice President Farouk al-Shara gives the commands, Hezbollah carries them out, and Lebanon is the hostage. President George W. Bush had this comment.
The root cause of that current instability is terrorism and terrorist attacks on a democratic country. And part of those terrorist attacks are inspired by nation states like Syria and Iran. And in order to be able to deal with this crisis, the world must deal with Hezbollah, with Syria, and to continue to work to isolate Iran.
Mr. Bush said that sometimes it requires tragic situations to help bring clarity in the international community.
It is now clear for all to see that there are terrorist elements who want to destroy our Democratic friends and allies, and the world must work to prevent it from doing so.
The Group of Eight industrial nations issued a statement saying the immediate crisis results from efforts by extremist forces to destabilize the region and to frustrate the aspirations of the Palestinian, Israeli, and Lebanese people for democracy and peace. The G8 statement continued, these extremist elements and those that support them cannot be allowed to plunge the Middle East into chaos and provoke a wider conflict. Officials of Arab governments have also criticized Hezbollah. Saudi Foreign Minister Saud al-Faisal denounced Hezbollah's irresponsible acts. What are Iran and Syria up to in Lebanon, and is U.S. policy working in the region? I'll ask my guests. Fareed Ghadri, president of the Reform Party of Syria. Dr. Joseph Jabaili, American-Lebanese Coalition President. And Mark Dubowitz, Chief Operating Officer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Welcome and thanks for joining us today. Fareed Ghadri, what role does Syria and Iran have in this current crisis?
Oh, it's a very important role. We know for a fact that about 3 weeks ago, there was a secret meeting inside in Damascus where an envoy from Hezbollah, we believe also Larijani was there, and as well as Asif Shawkat, the head of the military intelligence. In that meeting, I think the plot was hatched to actually do what Hezbollah has done in southern Lebanon, which is an incursion into Israeli territories and the killing of Israeli soldiers. So Syria has a lot to do with what's happening. In fact, it is leading the effort in bringing about Hezbollah to do what it's doing. It is funding Hezbollah. It's helping the funding Hezbollah, but also helping arm Hezbollah. And Iran as well. It has a very important role in all of this. So when the president says Syria and Iran are involved in this, they know exactly what they're talking about. And I think Syria and Iran are not trying to hide it out. They're trying to show that they are. They're doing what they're doing, in fact, because they've lobbed threats in the past on Israel and on the Lebanese as well, especially when Bashar Assad said, "I'm going to break Lebanon apart if I'm forced to leave," which is exactly what he's doing today.
Joseph Jabaili, is this Syria trying to break Lebanon apart?
Absolutely, and this is not new. I mean, it has been going on this way for many, many years. Syria never considered Lebanon as being a sovereign, independent country. That's why there's no diplomatic relations. There's no recognition of Lebanon. And there are these slogans sometimes from Syrian officials that we're one people, and it's the imperialistic nations which divided us, so we should go back to be one. And over the years, Syrian officials or Syrian governments have sent troops into Lebanon, weapons, fighters, stirred trouble, done assassinations over the years. So definitely Syria is after trouble in Lebanon.
Mark Dubowitz, what is Syria trying to accomplish here?
Well, Eric, it's clear that both Lebanon and Gaza, for that matter, are both Syrian and Iranian-occupied territory today. And I think that both Syria and Iran have a very complex agenda, but it's essentially to undermine American power in the area. It is the destruction of the State of Israel, and it is to destroy the embers of democratic reform that are taking place in Lebanon after the Cedar Revolution, and that we're starting to see a rise throughout the Middle East. That is a direct threat to the Syrian and Iranian regimes, and they will do everything they can to destroy that.
More than that, Eric. I think Mark is very right about this. But I think the Iran and Syria have seen success in the theater in Iraq, whereby they disturbed the process of democratization in Iraq. And now they're so bold. They're saying not only we've disturbed that process, but we're going to try and destroy any democracy in the Middle East. And the first one is Israel. And so their goal is not only to stop democracy, but now their goal is so bold that they're going to try and destroy any democracy in the Middle East, so that it does not they look like that the policies of the U.S. is not for the good of the Middle East, and they look like the winners after all in their battle against U.S. interests in the Middle East.
Well, Joseph Jabaly, how powerful are Iran and Syria together at this point in the region?
We have to realize that the main power today is Iran. I mean, the Syrian regime has been weakened. Its exit out of Lebanon, its isolation, international community, UN Security Council resolution, one after the other, asking Syria to leave Lebanon, condemning Syrian support for the militias, and Arab isolation even. I mean, Syrian government does not have a lot of friends even among the Arab community, and it's relying a lot on Iran. That's why the defense agreement recently, that's why the financial support of Iran, and honestly, a lot of people feel these days, and Farid can correct me if I'm wrong, that it's Iran making the decision. Syria now is a minor player in the hands of Iran.
Mark Dubowitz, is Syria a minor player, and to what extent does the territory that Syria occupies relate to what Iran is able to do in the region?
Well, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I think Iran is the major player. It's the major threat. Iran clearly has both regional and, I would say, even worldwide ambitions to spread radical Khomeini Shiism. I think there's an opportunity to do that first in Lebanon, certainly in Iraq, and to use Syria as a proxy. Syria, in fact, it's a strange country because it's brittle, it's weak. It has a very weak military. It has a very complex political structure where the younger Assad today is not like the old man Assad. He doesn't have the power and he certainly doesn't have the savvy. But he is isolated, and he's been isolated by his Arab brethren. He's been isolated by the international community. And certainly, the international community has made it very, very clear under 1559, the Security Council resolution, Syria must get out of Lebanon. Syria today is not out of Lebanon. Syrian intelligence agents are all over Lebanon, and the Syrian president is backed by, the Lebanese president is backed by Syria. So it's key, it's critical that first and foremost, Syria must be removed from the region. And secondly, we must understand this is Iranian regional ambitions, and we have to target those.
Well, Fareed Ghadri, a lot of commentators have noted that given the weakness that Mark Dubowitz describes of Syria, that Israel is making a mistake by targeting Lebanon here, which is being held hostage by Syria, rather than attacking the Syrian regime, which is controlling Hezbollah. Do you think that Israel should be looking at Syria rather than at Lebanon?
Well, as a Syrian native, as a Syrian American, I'm opposed to any military activity against Syria because I think eventually that will bear onto the people of Syria, and that's not something we all want. Plus, we know that the government is pretty savvy about these issues. They will use that to bring support on the street against Israel, not only against Israel, but also against the opposition, who's trying to work very hard to bring the regime down. However, we do not oppose the issue of regime change, because we believe that the regime has been weakened so much that if the United States decides that they want to that this is time for regime change in Syria, in and by itself that act will bring about the coalescing of the opposition, the weakening of regime from within, and the people will be empowered inside Syria and realize that this is the last few days of that regime. And that in and by itself should bring about the coalescing of forces to break down that regime peacefully from within. I'm more supportive of the regime being broken down from within than actual military theater or military operations against the Syria today, with one exception, that if Israel decides that it wants to take out the military headquarters of the Syrian military intelligence or pinpoint targets, one, two, or three, I don't think it would be such a bad idea to do that. But overall, a blanket operations against the Syria today is not in the best interest of the Syrians, nor is it in the best interest of the opposition. I just want to also bring up the other issue. Syria is very important. It is weak militarily, but it's not weak when it comes to as a chess player in the Middle East. And the reason being, Syria has been able to gain the confidence of Hamas, which is a Sunni, Muslim Sunni entity, gain confidence of Hezbollah, which is a Shia entity. And both of them, Syria controls both of them in a very, very clever way. Something that has not been done in the Middle East. So while Iran plays the big ogre in the Middle East, Syria has a very important role as an Arab entity, bringing other Arab entities together under the same wing and under the specter of Iran.
Well, Joseph Jubaili, Shimon Peres, who's currently the vice premier of Israel, has said that, quote, "We will leave Iran to the world community and Syria as well. It's very important to understand that we are not instilling world order." So what is there for the world community to do here if this is being directed by Syria and Iran?
Well, I think as everybody agrees here, the main player is Iran, and there are proxies, the Syrian regime being one, and then the local players, the non-state actors in Lebanon, Hezbollah, the Palestinian militias supported by Syria, and some very minor Lebanese groups. All these have been working with the Syrian regime for years. They're well-armed. They committed acts of assassinations, terrorism, etc. within Lebanon. And short of hitting the Iranian regime, of getting rid of the Iranian evil in the Middle East, there's, of course, the Syrian regime. And if not, then definitely their proxies within Lebanon. And the international community has the plan for that. They have the roadmap. There are now several United Nations Security Council resolutions, starting with 1559. That's the main one, which said basically Syria should be out, militia should be disarmed. But what's happening now, the Syrians have been theoretically out. There's still the intelligence. But again, weapons, ammunition, fighters still getting into Lebanon. And if you look back at the history, that's how the Lebanese civil war started in the 70s. Syrian army was not within Lebanon at the time, but they were arming all these militias, Palestinians and other within Lebanon. And then the war started, and then they found an excuse to come in. We should control the border. It's extremely important that the borders of Lebanon would be controlled. South and eastern border. South, the government should take, with the help of the United Nations, should take control of the southern border so Hezbollah cannot play a role in there. And the eastern border should be extremely well controlled so the Syrian cannot keep sending fighters and weapons and ammunitions and bombs into Lebanon.
Mark Dubowitz, what would it take for a secure border in Lebanon?
Well, I think Joseph and Fareed have put it very well, which is the destruction of Hezbollah. I mean, let's remember that we talk a lot about Iran and Syria as these grand masters and Hezbollah as a proxy. But Hezbollah is a global terrorist organization, very sophisticated and very deadly. It has killed more Americans than any other terrorist organization, with the exception of al-Qaeda. It has worldwide reach. It has terror cells in America, in South America, in Australia, in East Asia. It is a deadly terrorist organization, and in the global war on terror, it is incumbent on the United States and its allies to deal a deadly blow to these terrorist organizations with global reach. So I think we should acknowledge that Hezbollah is a dangerous player on its own. In terms of securing the border, I think it's clear that Hezbollah has been there for now 23 years. Since 2000, since the Israelis actually left southern Lebanon, There have been 151 missile attacks against Israeli towns. There have been 17 Israelis who have been killed. There have been 52 who have been injured. I think that we forget that the crisis didn't begin 3 days ago or 3 weeks ago. It began 58 years ago, certainly. But it began in 2000 when the Israelis pulled out of southern Lebanon and were met with missile attacks, deadly attacks against their citizens and their civilians. It began a year ago when the Israelis pulled out of Gaza, and over 1,000 rockets have been lobbed in by Hamas and other Palestinian terrorist groups into Israeli towns, killing and maiming Israeli citizens. So the response has to be clear, it has to be direct, and ultimately Israel needs to have the time in the next couple of weeks to do as much damage to Hezbollah's military capability and to go after the 10 to 13,000 rockets that are currently sitting on the Lebanese border. By the way, rockets which have been primarily provided, financed, and are currently being run out of southern Lebanon by Iranian and Syrian intelligence agents and troops.
Well, Fareed Ghadri, let's talk about those missiles. People seem to have been surprised by the sophistication of the missiles that are now at Hezbollah's disposal, not only ones that can reach as far as Haifa, but then the use of a variation on the Chinese silkworm missile that had gone to Iran, used to hit an Israeli warship off of Lebanon. What does this tell us about the current state of missile technology proliferation in the region?
Well, politically, it tells us that Hezbollah has been planning for this day for a long time. Because when Israel got out of Lebanon in May of 2000, that should have closed the issue of Israeli being on Lebanese territories, and that should have given Hezbollah a reason to exit the scene as a struggling or as a resistance movement. But the fact that they have those missiles tells us what? Tells us that Hezbollah, Iran, and Syria have been planning for this day, and they have been instigating and they have been prodding Israel for a fight. They've been eager to get a fight. Now, in terms of the technology, this is very worrisome. In fact, this is exactly the kind of things that we do not want in the Middle East. Simple reason: Middle East is the whole area is very backward. We need to pay attention to our people. We need democracies. We need to give them freedom. We need to lift ourselves from the darkness, from the dark ages that we've been living in for last 100 years. And in order for us to do that, we need to become peaceful people. We need to bring about peaceful change to our societies and allow the people to grow and allow the people to prosper from within. Spending money on missiles rather than spending money on schools is counterproductive to any Arab thought or to our development as people. And that in and by itself is a crime. And I believe that the Iranians and the Syrians and everybody that supports this kind of activity or missile technology or offensive technology in the Middle East is simply calling for more destruction and more havoc in the Middle East, or countries that have already been or already are or live already in dark ages. So it's we should fight this as Arabs. We should fight it with all our heart and try and conquer that issue with every ounce of our energy. It's not for the best interest of the Arab countries.
Well, Joseph Jubeli, these rockets and missiles are not held in depots or military installations, but rather are spread around southern Lebanon and in homes and civilian areas. How does rooting out Hezbollah, whether it's Israel or the international community coming in with some kind of UN force, how does this happen without causing so much death and destruction in Lebanon that seems to be part of what Hezbollah wants to have happen?
Exactly. Well, first, I want to challenge the idea of the resistance movement that Hezbollah has gotten over the years. I mean, Hezbollah was a militia that was formed in the late 70s, early 80s, and it was formed after the Iranian Revolutionary Guard moved into Lebanon through Syria. And it had nothing to do originally with the Israeli invasion of Lebanon. The Hezbollah agenda is transforming Lebanon into a radical Shiite regime modeled after the Iranian theocracy. And, you know, over the years, although the Israeli invasion of Lebanon had extended until Beirut, Hezbollah never attacked the Israelis. I mean, they're always finding an excuse, a raison d'être, if you want to call it, to present it to the Lebanese. They only, and at the end of the Lebanese Civil War in 1989, there was an agreement for all militias to disarm, including Hezbollah. And the only reason they kept their weapons is because the Syrians wanted them to. And then they come up with this excuse that we're fighting the Israelis. Then they remembered that the Israelis were still in the small security zone in southern Lebanon. And after that, you know, after the Israeli withdrawal in 2000, oh, we remember the Sheba farm now, which was never mentioned before. And now they're talking about the prisoners. And at some point, Hassan Nasrallah, I mean, in his last statement, he said, we're fighting the war of the Ummah. We're fighting the war of the whole Muslim world. I mean, we're hearing now another bin Laden. So the idea of a localized Lebanese resistance movement is totally wrong. Now, back to the rockets. It is very hard to be able to get rid of the Hezbollah armament without a ground troop operation. Let's face it. I mean, bombings and airline strikes, et cetera, could hit here and there. But they don't care about, Hezbollah doesn't care about loss of civilian life. They're going to hide all their rockets, ammunitions, et cetera, among the Lebanese population. It's the Lebanese who are suffering, the Lebanese who are being killed, the Lebanese civilians. Hezbollah has had lost only 8 members so far, and that's nothing. And the Lebanese losses are in the hundreds, but they don't care. And they want to still, they're still so outrageous in saying we want to continue the war and we're not going to stop the Hezbollah leaders.
I'm afraid that's going to have to be the last word for today. We're out of time. But I'd like to thank my guests, Fareed Ghadri of the Reform Party of Syria, Dr. Joseph Jubaili of the American-Lebanese Coalition, and Mark Dubowitz of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Before we go, I'd like to invite you to send us your questions or comments. You can reach us through our website at www.voanews.com/onTheLine. For On the Line, I'm Eric Felton.